Contemporary Music Centre podcast series. Composer of the Month for January 2008, Vincent Kennedy. In part one of this two-part podcast, Vincent talks to Michael Quinn about musical influences, the need to compose, composing for wind band, and the Hookhead Project.
Ask composers where they're heading towards, but just as crucial is where they came from. What were the musical influences that prompted you to become a composer?
My earliest memory is of my mother coming in one morning to turn on the radio, which she did every morning to wake us up. I was three at the time. My older brother was going to school. He was four. And this piece of music coming on the radio, and it remained with me. And it still remains with me. I was actually listening to it coming out of the bus this morning. There was something about it affected me very deeply. And it was about, I was three at the time, it was about 12 or 13 years later that I was playing that piece of music in an orchestra, and I realised it was the scherzo from Beethoven's Symphony No. 7. So that's where it started. And there was no music in my family as such. There was none of my parents, grandparents, anybody did music. And what happened with me is I got lucky. I went to a school in the inner city of Dublin, in West Monroe, at the same time that a Christian brother came there who started doing music. We started on recorders. He had taught previously in Kerry, and one of his students was a guy named Robert Hoolan, who's the conductor now, who was in the army band in Dublin. So he brought him down, and he brought two of his friends, one of whom was James Kavanagh, who's in the Academy of Music here, and John Meehan, who's in the Conservatory of Music, the DID. And they started teaching a group of 8, 9-year-olds trumpets, trombones, flutes, clarinets, and percussion. And that's where I started, so it was completely accidental that I've entered. And when I started hearing music then in that context, it affected me the same way as it had as a three-year-old.
So then the need to compose is enough for you to start composing, or do you need other stimuli like deadlines, commissions?
No, it's something that I just have to do, yeah. And it's great when it coincides with a deadline or a commission, you know, and wish that there were more of those, but it's something I have to do anyway, and it's something that I started doing by myself before I knew there were such things as commissions.
I suppose the music that one would associate you with most is that for wind band and concert band. What's the appeal of that particular area for you?
There's a number of appeals. One, I'm a conductor in that area. So that means that I can actually perform my own music, so I can conduct and perform it. It's part of the tradition I grew up with. I grew up in a symphonic band. That's what we had. It was a very, very good symphonic band. And then I went, associated with that, I was in the National Youth Orchestra. So when you're a brass player or a wind player coming from that tradition, there's far more playing in it, for a start, than there is in an orchestral. So you kind of get hooked in it from that point of view. But then there's a tremendous standard of playing in wind music, in this city in particular.
Tell me a little bit about how you go about writing a piece of music, what the initial prompt for it is, and then whether or not there's a set process that you follow.
If it's a specific commission for a specific group, then I like to connect the music in some way to the place or the people or something like that. And so, say in the last couple of years, I did a large-scale work for Wexford County Council based on the Hook Peninsula. Mm-hmm. So it was associated with that. So it was very much programme music. And then last year I had a music which was commissioned funding from the Arts Council for the group I conducted in our farm concert band. And that was more about people and place and emotions, mm-hmm. you know. And I've just recently been awarded an Arts Council bursary that'll enable me to take time from what I do during the day to actually start properly on this first symphony that I'm writing. Now that's something that occurs to me as I walk the streets or in the parks. I don't know how it happens sometimes that music comes into my head. You know, I don't have to sit down at the piano and go searching for it. It comes, and I know. And I kind of think that must be the way it is for everybody else, but maybe it's not. So from that point of view, the inspiration is always there, and if something comes in, I write it down. But usually if I hear it in my head, I don't forget it. I have a very good oral memory for things like
that. And how much reworking and correcting and changing and abandoning of ideas are...
Most of that happens in my head, so before I start putting it down, I've done it. And then if I'm to rehearse a piece, then their changes come after the first rehearsal. You know? You just know that some things aren't working or some things are working. And then there's always something else that pops in the minute you start rehearsing. Something, some new idea or something that you just have to fill in, some missing notes that you didn't know were missing. You know, a bit like what someone called the garden music. You know? Something else is coming out of it, and I need to put that in as well. And that happens to me all of the time. So after a performance, and I do my best to get a second performance, I'll mess around with stuff and add in what's needed or take out what didn't really work.
Yeah. And do you revisit work or do you leave it and move on to the next piece once it's been performed?
No, I revisit it because I'm looking for... I'm usually trying to get other performances and And, you know, that's a key to what I do is to try and have my music performed and have people listen to it, because I'm not sure, I don't see how music can exist in a vacuum of nobody listening to it. And then, you know, when you have the opportunity to conduct it, it brings an extra dimension, you know. And it also brings an extra dimension to the performance as well, to have a composer conductor, because you've got someone who can make instant changes or instant decisions on the spot.
Seems to me to be a very ambitious piece in terms of scale, if nothing else, but challenging piece as well for the performers. How did that piece come about? Because that was for a very specific place and very specific set of performers.
Yeah. Well, it was Wexford County Council commissioned me as part of a percent of art scheme for that specific area. There were two housing schemes, so they wanted something. So it's an area that I actually knew very well from going on holidays there. And it's a very historical place. I also then wanted to engage with local musicians because I think that brings a sense of ownership locally to a piece of music. And to also to help raise standards in relation to that, because I don't write easy music just for the sake for because people, you know, are out of a certain standard. I write the same music as if they were professionals, which makes it very challenging at times, and it won't always come off in an amateur performance. But still, the music is there in my head. So I got the buy-in of the local musicians very early on. But I also had a commitment from Wexford County Council that I could bring some musicians of my own into it, so that would help support the local musicians in it. Some of the movements suggested themselves. And that whole piece uses a whole range of things. I mean, it uses brass band, it uses pipes, as in pipe bands, it uses electronics, it uses a combination of all, it uses narration, it uses solo instruments, it uses recorded sound from the Hook Lighthouse itself, you know. And it kind of builds from the in terms of its story from the beginnings of life, I suppose, right up to the current day and what happens in the villages and places down around there. It's a 9 movement work, and it's been performed, I think, 7 times at this stage, you know, and it's been terrific, including the fantastic one outdoors at the Hook Lighthouse.
Mm. And did the scale of the piece, was that something you enjoyed?
It was, and it was something I hadn't realised before I started that it would be. It's about 44 minutes long, I think, at this stage. I was commissioned to write a piece of 20 to 25. I think it was certainly much longer, it turned out, at the end. Yeah, but I was so involved in creating it that on one day I finished it, I went, ah, it's over. And then realised just how big it was, you know. And it was it's much harder to rehearse an amateur group than it is a professional group. A professional group will come in and they will play, you know, almost perfectly for you, sight read it and everything, you know. An amateur group are not going to do that. You have to work very hard with them. So as a conductor, I was involved in that process from the very beginning. What tends to happen to me, especially when there's a deadline, is that, you know, the best work comes out close to the deadline, so it ends up being a kind of a mad rush at the end. I haven't got sorted out the time aspect of it in terms like that, you know. And sometimes I say, yes, I'd love to be much better prepared, but I think I'm actually preparing all the way, and the finish line is only the final emphasis.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Contemporary Music Centre Ireland. For more information, audio and video, please visit www.cmc.ie.